Let us now believingly listen to the voice of the Lord, especially as I announced as it comes to us through Psalm 128. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture's truth is that a believer's life, our life, a life, how difficult it also can be, our life is never empty. Our life is always full of God's blessings. And God's blessings then provide God's people with all they need. It's an assurance. God will not disappoint those who serve Him. And that's why God's children are happy eating the fruit of their labor, as the psalmist says. God's people truly enjoy and are blessed in marriage and family life. We hear that a man enjoys his own wife. They together, man and a wife, enjoy their children and grandchildren. The children, in turn, enjoy the love of their parents. All that joy is then extended to all the people of God, to the city of God. Indeed, no one of God's people is actually without a blessed family. Beloved, no one here is without a blessed family. A family, be it then that small unit of a father, mother, and children, or the large unit of the family of God, the church of adults, young people, older ones, all together as children, still children, children of God. And so in both units, the one constituted by the blood bond and the other by the faith bond, yes, in a godly family and in God's family, we always can live to our heart's content. We are blessed with children. And then the children are sharpened like arrows, being well equipped for the daily challenges and battles. What a joy children give to parents and congregation. Beloved, that's the resounding theme of this pair of Psalms, 127, 128. And I said in this service, we especially will focus then on Psalm 128. But doing so, we won't forget Psalm 127. This afternoon, I may serve you with the Word of God as follows. The blessings of the Lord give happiness to a covenant family. 3 points, the condition. Secondly, the confirmation. Finally, the continuation of God's blessings. Well, brothers and sisters, the psalm does not tell us which circumstances prompted the poet to make this psalm. However, the heading gives us a hint about the usage of the psalm. The heading states that Psalm 128 belongs to the songs of ascent. Now, in various Bibles, the Hebrew word for ascent, ha'amalot, the Hebrew word, isn't always translated the same way. Basically, it means the Hebrew word of going up. In the New King James Version, the NIV, we read then a song of ascent. The Old King James Version translates as the song of degrees. Others have songs of steps. Many others even call it pilgrim songs. So what is the meaning? Well, the basic idea of the Hebrew word is going up from a lower place to a higher one. One ascends to the throne, or one ascends a mountain like Moses did, meeting God and receiving God's instructions. As an avid scripture reader, studier, you know that scripture often speaks that the people of God went up to Jerusalem. They went up to Mount Zion to worship. At the end of the Babylonian captivity, the returning exiles went from Babel up to Jerusalem, we read. We also can think of Enoch and Elijah. You know, they ascended into heaven. In particular, of course, we may think of Christ's ascension. Another question regarding Psalm 128 is, what does ascend mean here? Are we concerned here with Levites, servants in the temple then, who climb the stairs of the temple court and then are singing there on that elevation? Or are we perhaps concerned with returning exiles who long to see Jerusalem, or even pilgrims go to the city of God? Now, all those possible meanings or situations, beloved, they point to one important activity of God's people. And you most probably already know that activity. That activity is approaching God, going up, so to speak, to Him, to be in His presence. And to worship Him. Since specific details are missing, we do well to emphasize this general meaning of ascent. We know that it was a holy duty for the complete Old Testament covenant family to go up to Jerusalem to feast with the Lord, to worship Him there. Well, in all the preparations for doing that, during traveling, at arrival and in the presence of the Lord, the families of God would have lifted up their eyes, their hands, in worship to God's blessings, to the God of God's blessings. The same, as you know, still happens in our New Testament worship. Cascading praise then ascends in church. And if it is well, also ascends at home. Indeed, there are principally two places of worship: the small unit of a believing family and the larger unit of Christ's congregation. From those units, then, our worship ascends to the heavenly Zion, to the throne of God, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, beloved, what does Scripture now say about life in those praise units, units of worship? God's Word says about them that their life is not in vain, their work is not in vain, their marriage is not in vain, their family life is not in vain. Instead, they are full of blessings. However, these blessings are not indiscriminately given. The recipients of God's blessings are not blocks of wood. They should not keep their arms folded, doing nothing. much less should they sing the worldly, raunchy, egalitarian songs of today. It's a kind of a condition. The Psalms state that only those who fear the Lord, that you did, when we read God's word, it states very clearly, only those who fear the Lord, those people will be blessed with a life that won't shrivel up. Only those, a parallel meaning, only those who walk in the Lord's way. And so the clear condition is that song of ascent should be heard from the lips of God's people. Furthermore, they don't only sing to the Lord or say, Lord, Lord, respecting and honoring him with their mouth. They also actually desire to do God's will. They especially do so in honoring God's creation order. And beloved congregation, that's the order Psalm 128 also follows. Speaks about the man. And in connection with that, it is very striking that verse 2 is formulated with the singular number, you and your, in which the man is addressed. He is the head of the family. So, you and your is related to the man as husband of his wife and the father of his children. Now that biblical order is crystal clear in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. That the man comes first. The wife, the woman, follows. The wife is given as a help to her husband to support him in all good things. The man is given to be... Man is given to the wife to care and to protect her. The man takes the lead. He goes ahead in leading in and teaching the Lord's ways. We also read his teaching in 1 Timothy 2. Well, in this biblical covenantal position, the man is then addressed in Psalm 128. The wife too is spoken to. The wife is spoken to as being included in the man. She takes care of his table. That is, of the domestic duties. Together, they are blessed. They are called blessed, since they are obedient to the order God has made. In their home ruling and home making, very important matters of family life, and the home ruling and homemaking. They follow God's creation order. In the family and in the congregation, they take God and His word seriously. The said one finds his teaching in 1 Timothy 2. You also find it in 1 Peter 3. Now, the spirit of our modern age, broadcasted very much in contemporary songs, television shows, even promoted by lawmakers. The spirit of our modern age wants to silence us about the biblical position of man and woman at home and in church. Man and woman are lauded to be totally equal in all regards. The woman is given the right to decide, to act, to provide for herself. Congregation, that is the lie of the spirit of our age. And you know, that lie doesn't bring blessings. That lie doesn't bring happiness at all. A lie never can. It brings trouble, darkness, and we see the evidence of it all around us. More and more, also because of divorce, more and more we live in a world of single families without the blessing of the support from a spouse, of parents without the joy of having their children around them. We see children without the loving care of their parents. Our world is one of individualism. Single people also live often all by themselves without the support of others, living and even dying totally on their own. Singing the songs of the world, following the tune of egalitarianism, is proving to be disastrous for families and for those who need the support of families and who need to support the families. A congregation, young and old, don't sing the songs of dissension, sing the songs of ascension, fearing God's name, walking in His ways, and especially then supporting each other as families and as the family of God. Such a life in obedience to our covenant God will prove to be blessed, joyful and prosperous, we read. We have come to our second point, the confirmation of God's blessings. Beloved, this truth can be found throughout all of Scripture. This truth, when God's people confirm God's promises by their faithfulness, then God will confirm their faithfulness by His bountiful blessings. It's truly the theme of Psalm 128. In different forms, the word bless there occurs four times. God's blessing then first and foremost is given in His house. See the end of the psalm. Now you know that after worshipping God in His temple, worshipping God in His house, God's people and families return home with the well-known priestly blessing. That the Lord bless you and keep you. That the Lord makes His face to shine upon you, always near, providing. That He is gracious to you. That the Lord turn His face not away from you, that He turns His face towards you, that He provides you safety, rest, peace. And that the New Testament this blessing is given by Christ to His family, to His congregation. Now that divine blessing assures us that the Heavenly Father cares for His people, for us. He will richly provide and He richly provides. We also, again, may taste today. He provides for all our needs. We also find that the Son then is near us, forgiving our weaknesses, giving His righteousness and holiness to us. And here we too receive the blessing of a renewing word of the Holy Spirit. All that happens us in our family lives is a blessing of a happy life. We read about that blessing in verse 2 and 3. A wholesome covenant family, blessed by the Lord. Not a shortage of food, richly provided. The marriage is blessed with children. Every year, we read, the wife blossoms, it blooms, and bears fruit like a fruitful vine. There are no problems with the children. They provide peace and support family life. Each we read like an olive shoot. And since Psalm 128 complement each other, we also may refer to the blessings mentioned in 127, that a man may count on God building his house, especially that God blesses then the domestic order in the home. The man is richly blessed by his sons, his children, who don't disappoint him. How? That sounds too good to be true. Does this picture of Psalm 128 not conflict with reality? With your own life? It seems that the psalmist lives in paradise. He looks like someone who closes his eye for real life. He seems to ignore life's hardships, difficulties, sorrows, breakups, headaches, disappointments, shortcomings. Family life doesn't run that smooth, does it? Many other cares and problems when children are received when they grow up. What about a couple who doesn't receive children? What about sickness, unemployment, accidents, missing a child by death, or having to care for a special needs child? Our first inclination is to think that the psalmist paints a very naive picture of life in general and especially of family life. Come on, is in our reaction, also in church, and you can hear it. Come on, we know better. Our plans, our care, our decisions, our arrangements, they help us to succeed in life. Even though, congregation, even though we have passages in God's Word, such as Psalm 127, 128, 1 Timothy 2, 1 Peter 3, those passages, we have it in the Bible and Scripture. A depraved heart can speak as follows, that we ourselves must seek to regulate everything, including the size of the family. And we are fortunate today, for regulating the number of children can be done much easier than in years past. Can it? There are many means available which can protect us from the unpleasant surprises of life. And we too are inclined to believe that today's advertisements that they promote and they show, they picture for us that you can buy family happiness. You can buy family happiness. For what do advertisements and commercials suggest? Often they use pictures of ecstatically happy young families. Laughing and beaming young parents are depicted. With two children, no more. And they are pictured like happily on a holiday, enjoying the leisure time. Or we see them enjoying a dish of a particular brand of instant food, or waving to us from a particular make of car, or sipping from their favorite drinks. All these brands, makes, and drinks are, according to today's commercials, indispensable for our life's happiness. And of course, those two children, too, as long as they are pleasant. Congregation, we have placed the picture of our modern world without God next to the picture of Psalm 128 of a world with God. You could say a world of descension and a world of ascension. So what is the real picture? And what is a deceiving dream? The advertisement of Psalm 127 and 128 is, or rather its truth is, life of man is governed by God. Never forget that. In all circumstances, congregation, as you know, sit here individually, as together, also as family of God, life, your life, is governed by God. Life is a gift from Him. The family home is a gift from Him. Children are a gift from Him. Life in God's city, life here in this place, is a gift from God. And therefore you need to rejoice in those gifts mentioned in Psalm 127 and 28. God's children are happy in eating the fruits of their labor. For each day, we ascend to the throne even to ask for it, and we receive Him. Each day, we will have sufficient on our plates. The man's wife gives him great joy, not in the least in her pregnancies, bearing children like a fruitful vine. You must know that the Bible takes the vine and its fruit as delightful things. They gladden the heart of man, we read in Psalm 104. And so at the end of his workday, coming home to his good wife, for that man is like coming home to a feast. Coming home to a feast. And then it's time to enjoy God's bounty. You see, a believing man's joy is not the newspaper or his favorite television show or his favorite sports game, nor his going out with his buddies. It is something much more exciting that demands his attention. What is it that a man wants to see? Of course, it is seeing his children sitting around the dinner table. They are his olive shoots. It is his joy, the man's joy, to invest in them generously and patiently. His olive shoots, his children, are his riches. And you must know, beloved, know this congregation, olive trees belong to plants that require much attention. Olives require much attention, care, and patience. In fact, those trees are quite demanding. Yet if they become full grown, they produce a profitable crop for centuries. And so it is with family joy. It comes after much pain and cost, but it is long lasting. In a covenant family, children give great joy, and so do children's children, confirming God's blessings of an abundant life, like vines and olive plants give. We read in the New Testament, especially the instruction of the apostles about family life, for example, Paul, and you know, take note, Paul was single. What he writes in Ephesians 5 and 6 clearly confirm God's blessings. There Paul even talks about God giving this promise, that faithful covenant families will be a safe haven. Our families, believing families, will be a safe haven of rest and peace, reflecting the life of salvation. There, in our families, the storms of life won't knock people down. Psalm 128, verse 4, indeed strongly confirms this. God's blessings give happiness to the covenant family. And look, the writer of that psalm, as it were, points the finger at our daily food on the table, and as we have seen, at the children around the table. Thus is the evidence of the blessings of the man that fears the Lord and walks in His ways. And those blessings continue throughout the generations. That's our last consideration. The covenant family with man, wife, and children is not just a unit on its own. I like to emphasize that again. They also are part of the whole family of God, the other unit. The sermon I have on and off alluded to that truth. And therefore, no one here in church, no one, must have the feeling that he or she is not addressed through God's word in Psalms such as Psalm 127 and 28. No one here should think that he or she misses out on the blessing of Psalm 128, since he can think, well, I don't have a family, or I don't have a wife, or I don't have a man, I don't have a husband. Or because she doesn't have a husband that fears the Lord. Or because his wife sings the tune of women's rights. Or that some of your children don't walk in the ways of the Lord. Or he or she is a single parent. Or your energy is sapped because of your care for handicapped children who need so much attention. Beloved, life on this earth under sin can be so confusing. Life can be so full of riddles. The side of heaven, not every question is answered. And that indeed can be quite confusing for young people. And it often is indeed frustrating to older people. Can be so stressful and agonizing, life. Yet, congregation, be assured that you have God who governs all things, as we already heard. Be assured that you have God for your foster father. He will always keep each one of us in and under his care, provide for our needs. Never forget that his ultimate promise concerns his own child, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our blessing. He is our peace. He is our safety. He is our strength. He is the Lord within his church and family. If God didn't give you a family, or if he didn't give you children, or no more children, then he might give you a task by which you can support covenant families. Or a task by which you bring others to fear, to the fear of the Lord. That they may walk in his ways. That you do so by reaching out with the gospel to your neighbors, showing the image of the Lord and giving mercy, bringing forth, like Paul, spiritual children. Never forget, we all are God's workers for the coming of his kingdom, being instruments of gathering in all his chosen children and people. Be content with this blessing. Nevertheless, beloved, nevertheless, Psalm 128 shows that Christ blesses our actual life first and foremost through faithful covenant families. Those families, also here, play a key role function for the completion of Christ's work. Through them especially, we will see the prosperity of Jerusalem, that is the city of God, as we read also in books like Hebrews and the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Indeed, congregation, how did the Old Testament people actually see the prosperity of Jerusalem? For them, what was the beauty of Jerusalem? True, it had great outward beauty as an illustration of God's covenant blessing to his people. But the true splendor of the temple was that God gathered his people there, and that the people feared God there throughout the generations. Think of Psalm 100. Flock of the Lord, adults and children together. The beauty of Jerusalem. What is the prosperity of Jerusalem, the church of today? Is that much outward beauty? Not really. The beauty is that the church is filled with faithful families and their children. Like here. Our congregation, our churches are truly blessed with many baptisms. That is the fulfillment of Psalm 128. Those children and baptism show the continuation of God's blessings. First and foremost, our prosperity is the joy of parents and grandparents, and yes, of spiritual parents. All of us here who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. But that's the call of us to do so. To fear God in an evil world, blind to God's blessings. In this world, our families and we all need to walk in the ways of the Lord. In this world, our faithful covenant God rules and governs everything. Also the course and the challenges of yours and my life. Fearing the Lord, and we are comforted and content by the knowledge that God will never, never disappoint those who serve Him. He will continue to shower His blessings upon all of us. You see, the blessings of Psalm 127, 128, that are actually the chief points of our happiness and contentment. Listen. This is God's blessing to all of us. The conclusion of Psalm 128, verses 5 and 6. Granted, many translations print those verses as a prayer. However, they are an assured statement that all blessings surely come from God, our Heavenly Father. The Lord shall bless you from Zion, from His house, all the days of your life. What a blessing that you are here, congregation, beloved brothers and sisters, young and old. The Lord shall bless you from Zion, from His house, all the days of your life. And you shall, not you may, no, you shall see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and you shall see your children's children. Peace upon Jerusalem. Beloved, peace be upon the family of God. Amen.